Hallelujah. If you turn with me to Jeremiah 6th chapter, 16th verse, or Jeremiah 16, starting at the 11th verse. Therefore I am full of the fury of the Lord. I am weary with holding in. I will pour it out upon the children abroad and upon the assembly of young men together, for even the husband with the wife shall be taken, the age with him that is full of age, days. And their houses shall be turned into others with their fields and wives together. For I will stretch out my hand upon the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord. For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, every one is given to covetousness, and from the prophet, even unto the priest, every one dealeth falsely. Lord, have mercy. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people, slightly saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Now we know about that from here in the Middle East. Everybody hollering about peace, but there is no peace. And we still fighting 100 years later. Better yet, 1,000 years later. Where their shame when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore, they shall fall among them that fall at the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the way and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and you shall find rest for your soul. But they said, we will not walk therein. Also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Therefore say, hear ye nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Amen. If you turn with me to Proverbs, and it's the subject of the Latin, Proverbs 22 and 28. Amen. Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have said. And I will be using those scriptures I read as a basis for what I want to use is for a topic, if you'll let me. The church is in a crisis. You know, a lot of people said, you know, that it's going to be some hard times, it's going to be some good times and some bad times. But if, you know, today you got to learn how to stick it out.
Amen.
People get married today, can't even last 5 days, much less 5 minutes. For 37 years, they walk around with amazement. And I said, there's nothing to it. There's going to be times when a husband had to cry too. That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Can't walk around all with your chest stuck out all the time. You got to eat humble pie too. Right out of graves. But along with some of the rough times, you sit back, you know, you think, and you have all the good times. Because when you sit back and think about it, you laugh about it, you cry about it. But all in all, the Lord kept you through it. And I like that. It's nothing but Jesus. And one thing I can say, unless the Lord build a house, you labor in vain. So I just want to let you know, in the Johnson house, the Lord is the foundation, or the true foundation there. If you're going to come there, if you want to come there and everything, you're going to get some Bible, so I'm sorry. You can't sit around and just sit around. Somewhere along the line, the Bible going to come up in there. So if you're watching a football game, I'm having to mention Bible to you. Yes, Brady might have threw that ball, but he didn't go as far. Lord, have mercy. And I know many of y'all sit up here hoping that the Ravens win today. We're going to have to do some hard praying. Lord, have mercy upon us. Jesus. But I just want to let you know, it's nothing harm, you know, no harm in enjoying things, you know, the church. It's no harm in laughter. A lot of times we don't laugh enough. And I noticed that a lot of times. We don't laugh enough in the church. Praise God. We don't laugh enough. And one sister in my job the other day saw me outside my office, and she just happened to mention one of the few days that I'm not caught with a smile on my face. And she said, "Brother Johnson, smile. Because it's more, you know, it takes more muscles to frown than it is to smile." And I just started breaking out and started just smiling. But one thing I'm for sure that won't let happen, I won't let the devil steal my joy. See, he may make you frown a little bit, but you don't have to let him steal your joy. And that's the key foundation. A lot of people ask, where's your strength? The joy of the Lord is my strength. So if things start getting me down, I have a little office I can go into and close the door and just start getting happy. And a lot of times they'll tell you that if you come around Brother Johnson's office, sometimes you hear him in there singing a little bit. And it doesn't disturb them. They like it. So I like it too. So if it keeps peace in the office, that makes me happy. So when they acknowledge it, say, "I heard you in there singing," said, "Thank you. And I enjoyed it." I said, "Thank you." You know? And then sometimes many people will come to you, if you're angels like you say you are, and they'll come to you like Nicodemus by night seeking your advice. Not really nighttime of the night, but they'll come when they're in their darkest hour to try to seek counsel and help from you. You had to be ready to give an answer to them of the hope. Huh? You got to be ready. Praise God. But I'm coming from the Old Testament. And like I said, the message I want to convey to the church, I want the church to realize today that we're in a crisis. Amen. Amen. Those that have gone before us have established some foundations and have took stands on various things, and God has called them home. But now God is calling upon us to hold on to those things which they have established. The late Bishop Mason and the patriarchs of the church, and matriarchs of the church, even right here in the greater state of Maryland, those folk have gone on. Some of our families right here in greater Maryland Church have set foundations and standards which they expect us to hold on to.
Amen.
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 They tried hard. I came here to Maryland Church in the late 70s, early 80s. And I can remember some of those families. They're gone on now. But if they, I wonder in my mind if they ever came back and looked at our children, what are they doing now? Are they carrying on the standards and foundations which we set? What if Bishop Young came back today? How would he find Maryland Church? What if some of the deacons and some of the missionaries that came back and struggled through this church, what would they find us in today? We're in a crisis. And the question I'm asking right now is, are we removing some of the landmarks, or are we fighting to keep them? When I looked in the Bible to talk and find out what a landmark was, they were the ancient borders or boundary in which lands and estates and inheritance were marked, bounded and distinguished. And those landmarks served to preserve integrity, honesty and equity, and truthfulness in the ways which we should be living and working. Christ built his kingdom and marked out his boundaries for his hands, the church. We find in Matthew 16 and 18, he said, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Hebrews 18 and 8 to 12 goes on and says basically the same thing. The establishment of boundaries. But I'm finding out today that in times like that, we are vastly losing the landmarks which was set before us. The Old Testament is filled with many lessons for the Christian. Romans 15 and 4 says that it was written for our learning. 1 Corinthians 10 and 11 tells me it was written for our admonition. And yet a lesson is that found in what Solomon and what Jeremiah have found today. A time of religious and social turmoil. We find it just like in Israel today, the United States is being pulled in many directions. Just like the church too. But yet we find the Lord is trying to offer rest to us for our souls. But somehow or another, our spiritual GPS is not functioning properly. We have lost our familiar landmarks. The things we used to see while traveling down heaven's highway are new a little bit now. We don't see those old familiar landmarks no more. We've taken a different route. I don't want to follow the old way my mama and my grandmother and them used to go no more. It's outdated. It don't serve me no purpose no more. That God my father used to pray to, it don't help me no more. He ain't coming when I want to. He ain't answering my prayer. He's not instant, in season and out of season, like he said he would be. Because if he's called, came when I asked him to come, I wouldn't be doing this jail time right now. I wouldn't be having my marital problems. I wouldn't be set outside for not paying my rent or my mortgage. But yet the Lord has called us back to the old landmarks. Because I heard Jeremiah say, seek and ask for the old paths. I remember returning from a trip down I-95 and a detour came up. And I became lost after I took the detour. And I found myself heading almost back in the same direction I was coming because I took another wrong turn. The detour wasn't clear enough. And when I stopped to ask one person, the direction they gave me weren't clear enough either. And they weren't very helpful. So you see that many directions that people will give you are not the right old paths that you should be following. And it's not always the best way. So when I stopped at the gas station, the direction he gave me led me right back to the right place I wanted to go. Now you see, all paths lead to the good way. In that case, the directions he gave me led me to the right way. Jesus is making the same familiar plea. Jesus and the world has established highways and a roadmap for our following. He's established doctrines and commandments for us to follow. He's communicated them through his prophets and his apostles, which were aided by the Holy Ghost. Yet we won't follow. Jeremiah said we won't hear. We won't follow. We ain't want to pay attention to him. Now we have to be careful that any direction that a person gives us doesn't lead us astray. Matthew 15 and 9 and Colossians 2 and 8 calls them doctrines and philosophies of men. They are packaged and presented to us as a new and improved way to go. But it truly fails to deliver the only true hope that God has to offer us. Everybody wants the new church. Everybody wants to follow the new way. Church as usual is not a thing now. As you see now, they're starting to move toward mega churches and TV churches. And you don't have to come to church. Huh? They're packaging and presenting it to us as new and improved. So you don't have to follow the old way no more. But it doesn't give you rest for your soul. So I just want to let you know, in order to follow the right and truthful way, you're going to have to set up signposts and landmarks. This was the solution for Israel when they were traveling the road out of captivity. Solomon was trying to bring that back to their remembrance. Jeremiah was trying to lead them back and tell them the same thing. But yet they wouldn't hear. Solomon was trying to let them know, don't go around defrauding your brother and your sister. You got to remember, you came out of captivity too.
Yeah.
You had to get saved too.
Okay.
You had to get the Holy Ghost too. So when you get saved, don't forget your brother or your sister. But we want to call it a new term today. We want to call it bootstrapping. Don't forget the bootstrap. I tell them to spread the gospel and tell them about Jesus Christ and how he saved your soul. The old term word is witnessing. Huh? Basically, the signposts and the landmarks that we're supposed to set today is the land of Moses, is the law of Moses. Huh? You're not supposed to add to it or take away from it. But you have a responsibility to teach every generation. But because it contains the doctrine of Christ, without which we cannot live. And God has told us that we have to stand by. Because if you don't know the word of God, you have no part with God. Huh? 2 John 9 tells me that. If you don't know him, how are you going to have a part with him? But I was reading the book the other day, and some of us might have read it. Oh, now I take that back. Many of us don't. They don't read it no more. In school no more. I'm going to be honest with you. The things we learned many years ago, it said the fall of the Roman Empire. Yes. The Roman Empire, one of the most powerful nations in the world back in the day. Sort of like another country we know today called the United States. And the author lists five reasons for the fall of one of the most powerful nations in the world. At that time, it was a dynasty. Everywhere you wanted to go or went around in that known part of the world, everybody wanted to be related or wanted to be or be known that they were Roman. It got to the point even Paul had to admit, I'm a Roman. When them folks start beating on him, Paul said, I'm a Roman. And they back up off of him quick. If you want to be known by somebody, let them know what part of the town or what part of the area you live in. They'll back up off you quick. When I lived in Cherry Hill, you didn't mess with nobody in Cherry Hill. And we ruled Baltimore. You didn't mess with them because you know if you mess with somebody from that part of town, the whole neighborhood will come up there and visit your part of town. And you was in trouble. And it was on. But now you don't have no more dynasties now. But one of the things he pointed out, or five of the things he pointed out was, first, there was a rapid increase of divorce. and the decline of the sanctity of the home, which is the basis for society today. Huh? Second, he said there was higher and higher taxes. The spending of money by the government for frivolous things, such as celebrations and partying and, oh, Lord have mercy. Am I talking all right? What are you reading in the news today? Huh? Am I bringing it home to you? Huh? Third, the mad craze for pleasures and sports becoming every year more and more brutal and more exciting. In them days, it was the gladiators. In these days, it's other things. Yeah, don't y'all talk about my football now. But that's becoming brutal too. Huh?
Yeah.
And yet more exciting. The fourth thing they said was the building of gigantic armaments while ignoring the real enemy within, which was the decadence and moral decay of society. Right. Things were getting wickeder and wickeder. They had no morals. They didn't stand on no principles. Anything goes today. Huh? Yeah. We're reading in the news today how some of these sports figures are going through some kind of problem today. Amen? And if you think the news or the media is on your side, you watch and see what happens when you get into problems.
Yeah.
It's news at 11, at 12, at 5. Your headlines every day. And you never get out of news unless somebody else do something worse than what you did.
Yeah.
Then they forget all about you and go to the next thing.
Yeah.
Huh? I know if Brother Woods could do it one now, he wish he would never get in the news no more and just continue to play golf. Huh? But these headlines now. Lord have mercy.
Thank you, Jesus.
And finally, the last thing he stated was, and the saddest part of it all was, the decay of religion. Religion provided no guidance in the lives of the people. Didn't tell them it was right and wrong anymore. Religion didn't stand up for and tell people if it's right or if it's wrong. Huh? That anything goes generation tell them it's not right. Where's the church folk? We sang the song, "Oh Zion, what's the matter now?" We put crooked people in office. Coming to you smiling and grinning and saying, "I'll do this and I'll do that. I'll put a chicken in every pot. I'll give you 40 acres and a mule." You haven't seen the chicken and you sure ain't getting the mule. But yet we still smile and put them in there. Then they turn right around and pass laws that's contrary to your religious beliefs. Yet we're a nation that was built on Judeo-Christian values. I know y'all don't like what I'm saying today, but this is Family and Friends Day. I got to try to save the family. I got to let my friends know about it, where I stand. See, they can sit up there and watch me all day long, my neighbor, but I got to still tell them where I stand. You got to open your mouth.
Amen.
And let people know sometime where you stand, whether it be on your job or whether or not it be in your neighborhood. Huh? And yet those same things are at work in the church today and society, because we have removed the ancient landmarks which our forefathers have set. Huh? I heard one person say that the saints should worship the Lord every day.
Amen.
But the Lord's day has been set aside for sport, a day for shopping, a day for leisure, a day for recreation. It's not even a holy day no more, Elder Gray. Huh? But it's turning into a holiday. Turn on your TV. You're getting Christmas messages during Thanksgiving to come out and shop and go broke. Yet the own country is going broke. But they would want you to spend money to bail them out. Yet they're taking more of your money in taxes. Lord, help us today. Help us. Help us. Help us. When we should have an attitude of saving and being vigilant with our money and follow a godly spiritual paying program. God's spiritual plan for our finances. Huh? The Sabbath day, which is Sunday, is supposed to be a day of fellowship. A day of worship. A day of giving and seeing people get saved. I'm talking about Sunday, y'all. Sunday. We partied all day on Friday, but we can't seem to find church on Sunday. Even though we have a day in between break, which is Saturday, to recuperate. See, our nation wasn't founded on drinking and partying and lawlessness, but it was founded so that you and I could go to church. God bless America because he said, I will bless a nation whose God is the Lord. I know I'm talking all right. But this is slowly coming to a halt. It is no longer their God. When I look out and see how we celebrate Thanksgiving by commercializing it in the media, how we want to party so much, how crack, weed, Bud Light, and Jack Daniels have become our new gods. We need to return to a sincere gratitude to the Lord and be grateful what God has done for us as a nation. And as a people. We don't have to worry about the white man destroying us because we destroy ourselves. I know I'm preaching all right.
Yes, sir.
He don't have to do nothing. Back in the day, it was the Ku Klux Klan. You ain't got to worry about him no more. We killing ourselves. All he had to do is sit back. We are extinct ourselves. We'll pass off the scene. That's what it is, Arthur. I'm looking at the Word of God. Some of the landmarks that we're supposed to bring back. Ephesians says, husbands, love your wives just as what? Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Wives, submit your what? Submit yourself to your husband as to the Lord. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Notice if I say in the Lord. For this is right. Not out of the Lord, but in the Lord. Huh? Fathers need to return to a sense of responsibility of being the head of the home. We find mothers not letting the dad do what he is supposed to be. Huh? That so-called Christian feminism that's moved into the church now has branded the man's authority out of date with the modern liberation of women today. And it's right here in the church.
My Lord.
You can't tell me what to do. I'm so-and-so, so-and-so, just as bad as you. Whoa. That's in the church. The feminist movement that moved in the church. But God made the family in Eden. And we need families to be the central part of our lives. And in society today, we need loving, leading husbands, gracious and submitting wives today. Huh? We need well-trained and faith-filled children. Yeah. Lord, have mercy today. That means the father should be a leader, not a dictator. Yeah. Fathers shouldn't provoke their children to wrath.
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
But learn to praise them and not criticize them every chance you get. God made us. Huh? And we need to learn, and children need to learn to obey their parents. They've been down that road you're traveling. They can make the road a little easy for you or sit back and let you go over that rough road and carry that heavy load. Huh? But yet we need to let you know that God is the center of our home. Oh, Lord, I didn't get much amen on that one. If God is the center of your home, you can't let any old thing go on in there. God is the center of your home. God is the centerpiece. Godly things should go on in there. Godly talk, godly walk, godly action. Now, I shouldn't say you walk around like a prude all day, but you should be not letting ungodly things go on in there. Huh? Oh, it's got quiet on me today. Help me today. I know y'all won't want me in family and friend day no more. Not only does our government and our home need to return, but our churches need to return to the landmarks of praise and the fundamentals of faith. God never intended the TV to be the local church. Yes, TD's all right. All the rest of them TV ministers are all right, but you need to have a local church home. You need to be able to come in and read it and hear it preached. And the preacher needs to return to the pulpit, not to the TV set. It's nice to see a big, beautiful church on TV, but you need to be here inside the church. God's word and the church should be the one that shape your culture and not be shaped by it. According to one preacher I read, he said, Bible knowledge has declined in the last 50 years. It needs to be preached clearly, thoroughly, directly, unceasing, and be balanced without compromise. According to 2 Timothy 4 and 2. Somebody get that for me, 2 Timothy. Because that was a young preacher. He was just getting started in the church. So he had to take the word from a seasoned man, 2 Timothy 4. Preach the word. Be instant in season. Out of season. Reprove. Rebuke them. Exhort them. Let them know where they're going. They're going all right. With all sound doctrine. So you have to be right yourself before you go around reproving and rebuking somebody and admonishing somebody. You got to be right yourself. You got to come to church and learn the word yourself. You got to be able to hear the gospel yourself. You got to be able to stand on something yourself. So when tough times come against you, you be able to stand on something. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other things are sinking sand. Strong winds may blow. I'm standing on Christ. Hallelujah. It's got to be profitable for somebody. And yet it's got to be filled with urgency and conviction. So that it profits of the man's soul. Moral sin and doctrinal error have become minimized and rationalized. I've often heard people get up there and quote scripture on TV and all of a sudden they quote it all out of text and wrong. And got people hooping and howling and sending their money all into them. And they're just as unscriptural as can be. You better wake up and read the Bible for yourself. The word of God says, search the scriptures and learn of me. God wants you to learn of him. And the only way you're going to learn of him is you got to read the God's word. We have set aside things within the church so you can come and learn of God's word. Friday night pastoral teaching with a pastor teach you. Sunday school. We have a good Sunday school teacher and superintendent here. And yours truly on YPWW. No excuse. If you die and go to heaven or go to judgment right now, won't be no excuse. Because you had an opportunity to learn of him.
Yeah.
Well, I watched it and I learned about it from T.D. Jakes. I send my money into T.D. Well, let T.D. bury you. Help me, Jesus.
Watch out now.
Men and women need to be taught their sin to repent and obey God's way. According to Isaiah 30 and 8, we need to scatter good seed through preaching and teaching and sharing God's word. It is the world that will change people's lives. And it's not programmed, designed to make church more acceptable to you. Today we come in with this program and that program and we changing this thing and it's changing this way. Pretty soon you done change everything about God and God's no longer in the church.
My Lord.
Because we want to pacify and keep you here. On Christ. The word of God. On Christ. The solid rock. I'm going to stand. Church folk are more concerned with fitting into the community rather than standing out. Unless we conform, they don't want no part of us. Yet we have to learn to confront sin and errors in the preached word. Or men and women will never be saved. We need to return back to the old landmarks. And what is that, brother? We need to return back to the landmarks of prayer and fasting and purity. Not divorce and adultery and sex before marriage. Help me, Jesus. I know I'm stepping on some toes here, but I'd rather be right than not say it. I know it's tight, but it's right. If you read your Bibles, you'll see it for yourself. A lot of people and preachers will try to skim and go all around it. But I'm going to tell you like it is. And these fine brethren right here will tell it like it is. You may go to Brother Boo Boo and Sister Fofo's church. But I'm going to tell you just like this. They ain't going to tell you no more gossip than what we have up here. We're going to give it to you straight. Now you may not like it. It may be like castor oil to you. But it's going to clean you up and clean you out. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. The modern church today needs a major resurrection of Christ-like holiness. Titus 2 and 11 to 12 says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions. And to live our lives self-controlled and upright and godly lives in the present age. We got to learn how to live upright and godly in front of unsaved people. We got to learn how to talk right and walk right in front of them. Because we are seen and read of all men. You're wondering why you can't fill your churches up today. Because people see you acting right one day and turn around acting unsaved the next. I'm living holy, holy today and unholy, holy tomorrow. I'm talking about Christ today and living like the devil tomorrow. But you gotta live like holy. Be ye holy, for I am holy, said the Lord of hosts. Hallelujah. 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 We need a separation of God's saved people from the rest of the world. We need to believe God's word. See, grace is not looseness, and it's not freedom to do as you please. But it's an expression of God's mercy and unmerited faith. Hallelujah. He didn't die on the cross for nothing, but he gave up his life for you. That you didn't have to go through the mess you're going through today. and the stuff you may have to go through tomorrow. God died for you. He shed his blood on the cross. They hung him high and stretched him wide. Hallelujah. God's grace, has an instructive and disciplinary side to it. We have to learn how to discipline ourselves. And if you don't know how to discipline yourself, you need to learn how to take discipline from somebody. Hallelujah. There's people in the world today who do not believe that the church is supposed to be different from the world. But I come to tell you this afternoon that you are a peculiar people, a royal priesthood, and we do stand for something different. We don't stand for any old thing in the church of God in Christ. You can't join. You got to be born again. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. 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 We are different. We don't act the same way the world acts. We don't talk the same way the world talks. Hallelujah. We don't do the same thing the world do. They see a difference in our lives. They see a change in us. And the same change in us they should want to have. And come to you like Nicodemus at night. What must I do? What must I do to have eternal life? Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. People are supposed to know a difference when you come into a room. And not say, that's Johnson. He's just like us. You're supposed to be different. There's supposed to be a shine about you. A difference, like one person called it an aura around about you. There's something, I noticed something different about you. I noticed you a little different. And believe me, when they come to you like that, they're watching your life. They're watching your life when you come to church. They like watching your life after church. And if they live in your neighborhood around you, they're going to watch you on the job. They're watching you. Now, this is Family and Friends Day. And I'm just saying like this. Your house, the church should be packed with family and friends today. Because if somebody's watching you, you should have an influence on them. Oh, Lord. But I just want to let you know, and I'm closing. We can be caring and reverent without forsaking the unchanged and unchallenging Bible truths today. And we don't have to remove the old landmarks which our forefathers and foremothers have established. They're proven. They don't change with time and culture. Malachi 3 tells me, I'm the Lord. And I change not. James 1 and 17 tells me, I'm the father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Hebrews 12 and 8 tells me, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He don't change for you. But we need to change for him. We don't need to reinvent God. And we don't need to reinvent the church. But what we do need to do is reinvent ourselves. We do need to embrace God's unchanging hand and the truths for which he preached. Jude tells me, and I'm closing, to live out and contend for the faith that was once all entrusted and delivered to us the saints. We have to fight now. Everything's coming against us. We have to hold on to God's unchanging hand. We have to live by the things God has provided for us and not live above our means. Hold to his hands, God's unchanging hands. Hold to his hands, God's unchanging hands. Fear my hope. Hold to his hand, God's unchanging hand. We gotta feel got him. Now wait a minute. Oh, yeah. It said hold to his hand, God's unchanging hand. You got to hold. I got to hold to his hand. And you got to build on those things that are eternal. Huh? Build your hope on things eternal. You got to hold to his unchanging hand. I'm that a God that I change not. And he doesn't lie. You got to hold to him. There'll be somebody out there right now that doesn't have a God to hold on to. They're going on through times right now. They're going through troubles right now. You have a chance right now. God's word never changes. We serve a mighty God. Hallelujah. Hold to his hand. God's unchanging. You better